All right, we're back in the Gospel of Luke. We took our little Easter break, so to speak, and we talked about this, the saving death of Christ, the saving life of Christ, and the incredibleness of that experience that God brings into our lives. And we saw that Jesus had told the disciples to follow him previous to this in Luke chapter 5, after he had they had caught that whole catch of fish with the with Peter in the nets. And so this is subsequent to that in Luke 5:12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So this little passage of Scripture, this is the story we're going to look at for a few moments today. But what I want to give you the thought of today from the Word of God is that God is willing. Oh, friends, he's so willing. In so many areas, God is willing to step into your life. He is willing to take your burdens. The Bible says, Jesus, it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All you that are carrying a heavy load," he says, "come to me." He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." And then he speaks about how you'll find rest for your soul. He is willing to be a burden bearer for you. The willingness of God is so evident as we look down through the Scriptures, as we see the rebellion of man, yet we constantly see the willingness of God to come to us in our rebellion and do something about it. He's willing to bear our burdens. He's willing to forgive us our sins, and that's not a small thing. Because in order for him to forgive our sins, he had to go to a cross and take the punishment for them. When we understand the justice of God, it's not like the justice of man. The justice of God demands punishment to fit the crime. That is justice. Justice always says punishment must fit the crime. For us, from our perspective, we look at sin and we don't think it's all that big a crime. But God knows what one sin will produce and what one sin has produced. That sin topples on top of itself. And one sin leads to another. And sin brings death. It brings misery. It brings destruction. And God knows it. And yet, he is willing to rescue the human race from its sins. How does he do it? By sending his son to the cross. And his son, who was the innocent one, takes the place of the guilty ones, you and me. And he takes the punishment for our crimes. That's the willingness of God. That's the willingness of God to love us unconditionally in spite of ourselves when we go astray and we do the wrong thing. That's the willingness of God. It's the willingness of God to reach out and touch broken hearts and broken people. God is more willing to bless you than you are willing to receive it. Did you hear that? He's more willing to bless you than you are willing to receive it. There is often a great resistance in the hearts of men to receive the willingness of God in their lives. But often what you'll find is that there are people who hit a bottom. You'll find people who somewhere hit a bottom of some kind in their lives. And that bottom enables them to realize, I need help outside of myself. I need someone to rescue me. And then that creates a willingness in that person's heart to go looking for help. And when they go looking for help, if they are truly seeking help, they will come up against Jesus Christ, who is willing. In our story today, we have a man who was a leper. Now, the word leper in the Bible's context at the time covered a great number of diseases. It was any disease where there was problems that would break out on the skin of people. Some of those problems were more severe than others. Some of them were infectious, and some of them weren't. And as a matter of fact, certain kinds of leprosies, most leprosies are not actually infectious, though to people at that time, they thought that it was. But there were other infectious skin diseases that you could get. And they didn't really have the science to go and say, well, this one is this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. They didn't have microscopes to figure out the exact bacteria or whatever kind of things were at work. And so what they did was they had the people who had these kinds of skin diseases, they were all called lepers, and they all were isolated. And they were cut off from the rest of society. And they weren't allowed to be among them. And if a leper came near you in the community, then that leper, you had every right to actually stone him so that he wouldn't touch you. So they were outcasts, utter outcasts. And as a result of that leprosy, and of course a full-blown leprosy in its nature causes the deadening of the pain endings in the people's nerves, so they don't experience any pain. So if their hand is touching something hot, they just leave it there. Until, well, they might smell the flesh burning, and then they pull it away. And what happens is that these extremities get infected, and they begin to rot, and all kinds of horrible disfigurement came. So people were terrified of lepers. And they were terrified of being near them and having anything to do with them. So someone who has developed a skin disease was suddenly left in a place. They had to leave their family, they had to leave everybody, and they had to go off and live in these colonies and live in abject poverty and only at the mercy of maybe family members who might come to the colony and leave some food for them at the outskirts of the colony and then go back, and that's the way that they lived. This man was a leper. This man had lost all hope. In every other circumstance, he was cut off completely, and he would never know anything different, except he had heard that there was hope in Jesus Christ. But you know, it's kind of a problem, because you're not supposed to have any contact with the lepers. So here's a guy who's a leper in a leper colony, and he doesn't have any contact with the rest of humanity, and the rest of humanity is not supposed to have any contact with him. So he had to do something that was way out of the norm. He had to reach out in spite of his problem, in spite of where he was at. He had to go and reach beyond that and take a risk, a real risk of being stoned to death for that, just doing that. But there was something in this man that he was willing to risk everything that he had for what Jesus could give him. He was willing to risk being stoned. He was willing to risk being rejected. After all, he was already rejected. You know, sometimes when people have nothing to lose, they'll step out. They'll venture. But oftentimes when people think they have everything to gain, they won't. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turns to him. He knew that he was covetous. He knew that his God was his riches. And so he challenged that rich young ruler on it. And he told him, "If you want to follow me, then give away all you had to the poor and come and follow me." Well, that rich young ruler, what did he do? He went away sorrowful. He had too much to lose in his mind to actually come to Jesus Christ. He was willing to come only so far. And that's why I said earlier, God is more willing to bless than we are willing to receive. Because sometimes when it comes to the receiving from God, we have to let go of some other things. If you're already full of stuff, and God wants to come and say, "Listen, I want to come and fill you up." Well, what has to happen? You got to get emptied out. You need to be emptied out so you can be filled with God. And that's painful. And at times we're challenged with that. But this guy had nothing to lose. And that is why often it is that those who are down and out, those who are at the bottom, are more likely to find Christ than those who are on the up and out side of things. Because they realize their need. But God can bring any one of us to the place where we realize our need. If you knew how bankrupt you were without Christ, if you knew how empty you were without Christ, if you knew how lost you were without Christ, you would be running to Christ. If you saw how lost you were, then you would want to be saved. Because according to the Word of God, the world is lost without God. You don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to be a leper. You don't have to be an outcast in the world's eyes. You have to understand that your sin has made a separation between you and God. And if that separation continues, you'll be lost for eternity. And God loves you. And he has reached into this world. And he's reached into the brokenness. Yes, the brokenness that you have in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, there's a measure of brokenness in your life that will come to its full fruition and understanding when you meet the judge of heaven and earth. So we all ought to be, in one sense, realize that we are, in one sense, like this leper. The Bible says that all the righteousness that you produce are like filthy rags to God. All the pride that comes with that. You know, it's often that one word, pride, that keeps people from coming to Jesus. Because they compare themselves with other people and they say, well, you know, I'm not like that person. I'm not like that person. I don't, you know, they need God. They need something, but not me. And yet the Bible says this, those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Compare yourself to God. And then you'll find there's very little difference between you and the worst person you know in your mind. You'll find that out. And you'll discover, wow, the ground really is level at the foot of the cross. I really am no better than anyone else. We don't see that the sin of pride is just as horrible as any other sin. The sin of gossip. The sin of being independent from God, not leaning on God. Is a great sin in itself. This man was full of leprosy. And it says, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him. Now, I want you to know that this man, he didn't just see Jesus, but he came to Jesus. He went up to Jesus, which he was not supposed to do, but at that point, he didn't care. At that point, it didn't matter who saw him, and it didn't matter what anybody else said. He was going to come as close as he could to Jesus Christ. And so when he comes to Jesus, it says he fell on his face and implored him. So now we can see that he was a man of worship. He was a man who was willing to bow down to Jesus Christ. Somehow he knew who Jesus was and what he could do, probably from the fact that he had healed so many. And he makes a statement here that's interesting. He just doesn't say, Lord, make me clean. What does he say here? If you are willing, you can make me clean. He basically defers to Jesus in every way here. He has humbled himself to the point where he's not even making demands on Jesus here. He's saying, Lord, if you're willing, I'm willing to bow to your will, God. Lord, you are in control here. I know that you can make me clean. And if you are willing to do it, you can do it. That's what he says to him. There's a humility about his prayer here that he recognizes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. The very prayer that Jesus made when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a willingness to come to Jesus on his terms. Now, a lot of people want to come to Jesus on their terms. They want to come to Jesus as long as he's going to do what they want and he's going to do it their way. But if they don't, well, I'm not going to bother with that. But you can't come to Jesus on your terms. You've got to come on his terms. And if you don't like his terms, what can I tell you? Tough. He's not going to change his terms. He won't. He didn't with a rich young ruler. When that rich young ruler went away sorrowful, Jesus didn't say, oh, hold on, sorry, buddy, I'm going to change the terms here because I really want you to come. No, he said, these are the terms for you because I know where your heart's at. Trust God. Trust the Lord Jesus and be willing to come on his terms and his way. When you're desperate enough, you will. That's the truth of the matter. When a person really knows how lost they are, they will come to Jesus and they will find salvation. They will. But if you don't know how lost you are, why should I? I don't need it. Somebody else might need it, but not me. But this man knew that he needed it and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Now we find Jesus participating in this man's passion, in this man's desire, in this man's humility, and in this man taking that place where he says, whatever your will, not my will, but your will be done. Says Jesus poured out his hand. He stretched out his hand. Now for you and I, we read that and we say, oh yeah, so he put out his hand. He put his hand to a lot of people. But to put out your hand to a leper in that society, man, that was going too far. That was going too far. If you went and you touched a leper, guess what the rest of society would deem you to be? Unclean. Yep, you were outcast. Immediately, they would put you out. Because you might have gotten infected, and then you might pass it on to somebody else. You can understand the reasoning behind it. But it may not have been the case in every situation. So there was a whole system in place that if there was anything that showed up on you that looked like it might be leprosy, you had to go to the priest at the time. And the priest would examine it and look at it and see how it was behaving. And you'd have to come in at different times and you'd have to stay isolated. And then if it looked like it was spreading at all, buddy, you're out. You're out. And so that was the conditions and the way they went about stuff. But boy, it was all like very, very careful. But Jesus broke down all of those barriers. He reaches across those barriers and he reaches out and he touches this leprous man. And listen, he wasn't just somebody that had the odd scab or sore on him. The Bible says he was what? Full of leprosy. Now, when you're full of leprosy, it's full blown, which means this man would have been a mangled mess. That's what he would have been. He would have been one of the ones that people would have run from so fast. He likely would have had his extremities rotted off and on his hands and his feet. Even in his coming to him, it must have been a struggle. He would have been an absolute human mess. But Jesus reaches out into the messy places. He reaches out into the messiest circumstances. And he loves and he blesses and he is willing. He's willing to touch the messy places. We've all got some messy places, don't we? Maybe nobody else can see them, but God sees them. And he's willing to reach in and touch the messy places. He's not shrinking back from your leprosy, from your sin, from your decay, from things that you have done in your life, from things that maybe you can't even feel like you could ever be forgiven for. He's willing to reach out and he's willing to touch and he's willing to bless. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. And he not only reaches out and touches him, but he says this, I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. I just want you to know today that Jesus is willing. Oh, how willing he is to reach out into our lives. How willing he is to reach across every barriers that we put up, and still willing to reach into our lives and bless us and touch us. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to save. He's willing to heal. Most of the time we have not because we ask not, because we are unwilling to come. But if you are willing to come with every situation, bring your cares, bring your problems, bring your deep hurts, bring your needs, bring them to Jesus. He is willing. He is willing to work in those circumstances. He is willing to touch us. He has shown his willingness by going to the cross to be our Savior. He has done the ultimate task in order to reach you and I. And if he has done the ultimate, will he not do the lesser? Will he not reach out and touch us where that need is? He is willing. He is more willing than we are willing ourselves. But praise God that he is. He is willing to reach into your life and into your circumstance. Now that ought to tell us something else as well. If Jesus is that willing to reach into people's lives, to go across those barriers and to reach whoever or whatever, what are you? Are you willing? Are you willing to go that extra mile? Are you willing to reach out and to give and give and give again? Are you willing to deal with messy people? Or do you just cut those people off out of your life? Jesus is willing to reach into brokenness and hard circumstances. I praise God for that. I thank God that he was willing to reach into my life. There's no reason why he should, except that he loved me. And he reached across those borders, and he reached into my heart, and he reached into my life, and he's reached into your lives, and he can reach into other people's lives. Look, there is no place for us in this world to walk by and turn our noses up at anyone under no circumstance. It doesn't mean that we love sin. And it doesn't mean that we don't deal with sin and we're not willing for people to challenge people to deal with sin. That's what Jesus did when that ruler came. When he came, Jesus challenged him in his circumstance and he went away sorrowful. That doesn't mean we don't do that. But it does mean that we love the person. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him. And so that love ought to be so much to the forefront. It doesn't mean we don't speak the truth into their lives, but we do it with love. That is the heart of God. That's the heart that he has for people. He reaches into hard places. And many times in my experience since I've been a Christian, I've come into hard places and circumstances and broken people. And yet the Lord has given me grace to keep going and loving people. And I pray that that will be our heart to reach out to people. I remember Jim Simbala. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. Marie and I were there at a service a number of years back. But Jim Simbala started that church with, I think he had 4 or 5 people. Now there's thousands of people there who have come to faith in Christ. And many of them came from such horrific backgrounds, terrible brokenness. But this is many years afterwards, big church, things going pretty good. And he's preaching and teaching, you know, 5-6 times a week, and huge crowds are coming, and you know, they're right in Brooklyn, and it's not an easy area. Lots of broken people, lots of drug addicts, and all kinds of messed up people. And this one day, he had been preaching. He had preached a Sunday morning. He preached a Sunday evening, and he was just exhausted. And he was actually sitting down at the front of the stage where he was sitting there and kind of just, I'm done for the day. And a guy comes up to him. And this guy was filthy. Just crud filth. And he starts to approach him, and Jim Simbala says, thinking to himself, oh no. He said, here's some guy looking for money for a fix, you know, because that's usually what they were looking for. And they had people coming into church all the time looking for money and looking for something, and they had people in the church who kind of looked after that business, who, you know, kind of watched out for them and tried to help them and maybe get them something to eat. And they didn't turn people away in that way, but they'd look for ways of helping them without encouraging them in their addictions, right? But somehow this guy got past all of them, and there he was. And most of the people had kind of left, and this guy comes up to him, and Jim was thinking to himself, oh, I just can't handle this. So he just took his wallet out, and he pulled out $20 out of his wallet, and he kind of, when the guy got near to him, he said, here's 20 bucks. And the guy said, I didn't come here for money. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God. And all of a sudden, Jim realized what had happened to him. Somehow, he had become unwilling. Somehow, he had missed seeing somebody through the eyes of Jesus. And oh, he began to repent. And he began to talk with him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, oh, the man stunk bad. He reeked so bad. But he said, God, put it on my heart. I need to hug this man in all of his filth. And he reached out and he hugged him. And there he prayed with him. And that man accepted Jesus Christ. Not only did he accept Jesus Christ, he went on to be a preacher of the gospel. He went on to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And he has been in the ministry for many years after that. Here was a man who was willing to come. And he was misjudged, misunderstood. But that didn't change the heart of God, did it? And sometimes as the servants of God, we can make our little judgments. We can think, oh, that, oh, I just want to be around that person. He stinks. You know, but that's not God's heart. It's not God's heart. God loves people, and he loves broken people. And may we as a church never lose sight of that. May we be willing to reach out to people in their brokenness, in their need. May we be willing to come to them and to love them and to allow ourselves to drop our barriers and come and care for people. The Lord is able to raise up the most broken people. And so it happens immediately. This says the leprosy left him. And so Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest. That's what they had to do to get reinstated. And make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. But the guy couldn't keep his mouth shut. Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus tell the guy, don't tell anybody? Why do you think he would do that? Yeah, he wasn't interested in the fame that the crowds were wanting, because he knew he had his time. He had his time when they would all say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It wasn't yet. His primary message, his primary ministry was to preach. And we saw that earlier in one of the passages where they were all coming and looking for healing. He says, I have to go and preach the gospel to other places. They wanted the crowd, in a sense, it's just like for the free bread when he gave them all bread, they kept coming after him because they wanted more free bread. And people will always need something physical from God. So Jesus said, I just want you to, you know, I'm blessing you, I am willing, but don't tell anybody. Well, it says the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. That doesn't mean that Jesus stopped healing them. It means that Jesus was gracious in every way, but he had a timetable and he had things that needed to be done. And so the priority wasn't just for self-aggrandizement. He wasn't just going around trying to get as many people to look at him. He was trying to get people to come into a real, loving, and living relationship with God. That was his priority. And we can see that even in what happens in the next verse. He often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. God is willing. And Jesus was willing because he had a relationship with his Father. Because he would withdraw and spend time alone with the Father. And then he would go out and pour out blessing and be willing to reach into the most broken lives and broken circumstances. I want you to know today he is willing. He is willing to touch you. He is willing to touch your neighbor. He's willing to touch people that you think you may have decided, not going to bother with that person. Don't do that. Have the heart of God and know that God is able to break into their lives, to break into people who are opposed to you, to break into people who are in hatred of you, people who persecute you wrongly. God is willing and he is able. Bring them to Jesus, pray for them, and see what God is able to do. You know, God is so willing to do so much, but here's something that God is not willing to. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, 2 Peter 3:9, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's something that God is not willing. He's not willing that people should perish. He wants people to be saved. That's the heart of God. May it be our heart today too. Oh, friends, let's embrace and discover and realize the willingness of God. The will of God is not some narrow thing. Some people think, oh, I have to pray according to his will. That's what that man did. But praying according to the will of God is a wide thing. My, this is God we're talking about. How willing he is in so many things. And if you wanted to go through the scriptures and see the willingness of God to pour out blessing, the willingness of God to fill you with his spirit, the willingness of God to be with you, the willingness of God to die for you, the willingness of God to intercede for you in heaven, the willingness of of God to prepare a place for you in heaven, the willingness of God to love the human race so much that he gave his only son. Praise God. If you're wondering today, as you face your trial, is God willing to meet me here? I want you to know yes. Is God willing to lift these burdens? Yes. How he does it in his own time? Trust him with it. Bring them to him. Is he willing to save family members? Yes. Bring it to him. Pour out your heart to God. He is willing. Praise the Lord. This man saw his need, and so he came, and he found a willing Savior. So too can you. But also, as we discover the willingness of God, we're going to want to bring others into his presence. And that's what we'll look at next time we come together. We'll see the story of four men who took a broken man, a paralyzed man, and they knew that God, Jesus, was willing, and they went to great lengths to get him into the presence of God. But for today, let me encourage you, in your circumstances, God is willing. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see how willing you are. And not only that, Lord, make us willing. Make us willing to go into highways and byways. Make us willing, Lord, to embrace the broken ones, Lord. Make us willing, Lord, to reach out and touch the ruined ones, O God. Make us willing, Lord, to have your heart and to think the way you think, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace and the kindness and the mercy that you have shown each one of us. Lord, thank you for giving us a willing heart to be even here today to come into your presence. I just give you praise with all my heart today for who you are, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see more and more of the gracious, kind, wonderful Savior that you are. That you have been willing to save anyone who's willing to come. In Jesus' name, amen.